Welcome to Torah Timecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chana Meira Katz, and today we will begin the 90th chapter of Tehillim, Perek Tzadi, which also starts the fourth Sefer of Tehillim. It's a small book, it only has 17 prakim inside of it, and the overarching theme is introduced with this perek with the question, how does fragile, finite humanity connect with an infinite God? The perek begins with a heading, Tefillah LeMoshe Isha Elokim. And Rashi explains that this perek and the next 10 are all written by Moshe. And Moshe Rabbeinu is really the best one to explore this question because on the one hand, he had the most intense version of prophecy. It says that he spoke to Hashem face to face. He was the one who brought us down the Torah. He went up to heaven 3 times, 40 days and nights. But at the same time, the Torah testifies that he was the most humble of all mankind. So he has an appreciation of the greatness of Hashem and the smallness of human beings. So he's the perfect one to write this parak. And he starts off by contrasting Hashem's eternity with human fragility in the first two psukim. And it starts like this. Hashem, ma'on ata hayita lanu b'dor v'dor. Hashem, you've been a shelter to us in every generation. B'terem harim yuladu, you existed before the mountains were born, v'techolel eretz v'tevel, and before you formed the world, u'me'alam adalam atakel, and from all the time that was and all the time that will be, you are the Almighty God. So with this opening, Moshe testifies that Hashem existed before the creation of the world and he will continue to exist forever. The Malbim gives a beautiful insight into this section. Hashem created our souls before he created the world. So if there's no world, where are the souls supposed to be? Hashem stored them right there with him in his throne of glory, his Kiseh HaKavod. So when we say Hashem ma'onata hayita lanu, you are a shelter for us, we mean literally God sheltered our souls. Once God created the world, he placed our spiritual soul inside a physical body, and this has been the struggle of mankind ever since. How to reconcile our neshama, our soul, with our guf, our body. Whenever a person allows his spiritual side to dominate, he's given the title Adam, which is a more complimentary title. But when he perceives himself only as a body and he forgets his soul, he's called Enosh, which is a lower form of mankind. So with this in mind, we understand Pasuk Gimel, the third Pasuk, and it goes, Tashev Enosh Ad Daka. I've seen different translations. One is, you beat man to a pulp, or degraded mankind, you let sink to verge of destruction. Either way, it's talking about a man who associates only with his body, and because of his actions, he brings himself to self-destruct, and God has to bring him back, and he says, Vatomer, Shuva b'nei Adam. Hashem says, return to me, O man. Return to your higher self, your Adam. Now, the word Shuvu has in it the Shorish Shuv, which is the same Shorish as Teshuvah, the root word to return, which we see from here that Hashem is talking about the concept of Teshuvah. Hashem created the concept of Teshuvah before he created the world, the concept of repentance, because it's human nature to sin, it's human nature to mess up. But according to the laws of nature, once you break something, it's supposed to stay broken. Even if you stick it together again, it looks like it's been patched up. It's miraculous that we can do something wrong, do teshuva, repent, and then fix it like it never happened. That is miraculous, which is why God had to create repentance before he could create the world. So how does Hashem get our attention? How does he bring us back from the brink when we self-destruct? One way is Hashem sends suffering, because if we identify mainly as a body, God wants to show us that our body is temporary, it's not going to last forever, and it's our soul that is eternal. Another way that we can be shaken out of our complacency is when we meditate and think about the transience of life in contrast to the eternity of Hashem. So that's Pasuk Dalet, the fourth verse. Ki elef shanim be'enecha, because 1,000 years in your eyes, kayom et mol ki yavor, it's like yesterday, the past. It's not even like a complete day. Va'ashmura balayla, it's like a night shift watch. Apparently, the night shifts were divided into thirds. So a life is not even like a third of a night. That's how short it passes in God's eyes. And then over the next few psukim, the Mizmor uses four specific metaphors to describe the brevity of human life. So the first one in Pasuk Hey, the first half of Pasuk Hey, the fifth verse, it says, Zaramtam Shena Yiyu. Life passes like a dream. Actually, Zaram is to pour, like, you know how you pour water onto the floor and you can't get it back in. It's also like a dream that you're dreaming, right? Have you ever had that experience where you're having this lovely dream and it feels like it's lasted many years and you wake up and it's just been a short nap? That's one metaphor for life. Okay, the second metaphor is in Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Baboker yatzitz v'chalaf, la'erv yemalel v'yavesh. It's talking about a type of a grass that in the morning is fresh and succulent and green, and in the evening it's shriveled up and it's dead. And that's very metaphorical for life. In our youth, we have all these dreams and aspirations, and then as the difficulties of life slowly pound us down, it sucks the ambition out of a lot of people. So that's the second rather depressing metaphor. Then the next one in Pasuk Tet tells us in verse 9, Kilinu shanenu kamo hege, we spend our lives like a sigh, which is a duration of a single syllable. Like, that's how short life is, just like a sigh. And even using that metaphor has such a sad connotation. And it finishes off in Pasuk Yud in the 10th verse, Kigazchish v'naufa. It goes quickly and we fly away, talking about the years of our life like a bird flying away. The pasuk continues, Ki kol yameinu panu be'evratecha, all our wasted days pass under your scrutiny. Meaning maybe some people do live really bad lives and they sin and they do terrible things, but most of us, it's not that we're such bad people, it's just that we don't really utilize our time, we waste our potential. And the Drash Moshe quotes the Zohar with a really interesting explanation. It says, if we live our lives to our fullest, then our lives actually add depth to our neshama, which is our eternal side. But if we waste our time, our own days will come up to heaven and testify against us in anger. So you can actually literally translate the pasuk, ki kol yomenu, our very days, all our days, panu, turn against us, be'evratecha, in anger, saying, hey, you gave us to this person and he didn't use us properly. So this final pasuk of this first section of the Mizmor seems to underscore the brevity of human life. And we say, Yemeshna seinu bahem shivim shana. Person's average life is 70 years. Ve'im b'gvuratan, and if a person is really strong, shmonim shana, 80 years. V'rabam amal va'aven. And most of them are filled with hard work and uselessness. So just to sum up the setting of the scene in this first section of the perek, Hashem is eternal, which is Psukim 1 to 2, compared to man whose life is so short, that's Psukim 3 to 6. And even those short years are filled with suffering and are often not utilized properly. Psukim 7 to 10. Now, this is just the backdrop for the start of Moshe's Tefillah and the subsequent chapters that we're going to study. So don't get depressed. It's just setting the scene. So now we can lay the dilemma. If life is so short and we often waste our time and we have so much potential, the Mishorer, the author, asks Hashem, Limnot yameinu kein hada, hoda. Please teach us how to use our days, how to count our days. We count our days in seconds, minutes, hours, but in heaven, they don't count it like that. They count it by the deeds we do. So someone might think that a person lived to 85, but if they count how they actually spent their time, how much time was spent in tefillah, prayer, how much time was spent learning Torah, how much time was doing acts of kindness, how much time was spent sitting on the couch eating potato chips and watching TV. So that's how they actually count our life. How did we spend it? How did we waste it? And it could be someone maybe chronologically lived to 85, but if you count how he spent his actual time productively, he only lived to be 50. They count it differently. So we ask Hashem, teach us to make the most of our lives. And not only that, to give us the passion and encouragement to get out there and really make the most of our lives, we say, Sabenu baboker chastecha, unranana v'nismecha b'chol yameinu. Satisfy us in the morning with your kindness, and we'll sing and rejoice throughout all of our days. This teaches us a very important concept. The more we look in our lives and acknowledge all the good that God does for us, then the more kindness Hashem will send our way. So we ask Hashem to help us to be mindful and recognize all of this kindness. So then we can thank and praise Hashem, Naranana v'nismecha, and then Hashem will give us even more good. And then if we step back and remember that this perek was written by Moshe, we can interpret this to mean that Moshe asks Hashem in the morning of the Jewish nation's existence, as he's taking them out of Egypt, And he says to Hashem, please shower the Jewish people with kindness, with the kindness of showing them the 10 plagues, with the splitting of the sea, with the giving them the man and the miraculous well of water, and all the wonderful miracles that were done for them, both in the desert and as they entered the land of Israel. If you shower the Jewish people with kindness in the morning of their existence, this will bolster their belief in you so that for the rest of time, the Jewish people have such a deep connection and belief in Hashem, and we're always singing and praising Hashem because we have this foundation of emunah that is built on the miracles that Hashem gave us to show us His love. Then we read the next pasuk. Samchenu kimot initanu shnot ra'inu ra'ah. Give us joy for as long as you have afflicted us, for the years we have suffered misfortune. So what we're asking Hashem on three different levels. The most straightforward is for the amount of time that we have suffered in our lives, we ask Hashem to give us an equal amount of joy. Rashi is holding it to be more global for the Jewish people, that the joy the Jewish people feel in the coming of Mashiach should equal all the pain suffered throughout the Galut. And if you study Jewish history and know about the terrible things that Jews have experienced, if that is all turned into joy, then it's going to be really, really a wonderful time. And then Radak looks at it differently. He said, it's very easy to notice Hashem in times of suffering and pain. Hashem wants our attention. The easiest way to do it is cause us suffering. Radak is saying, give us the challenge of helping us recognize you in good times. Help us to see God in a beautiful sunset, in a birth of a baby, when you have a good day, when you find a perfect parking spot. Help us to notice Hashem in the good times so then we don't need the suffering and we don't need the bad times. We carry on. Let your deeds be seen by your servants, your glory by their children. So the author's pledging that if Hashem shows him miracles, he will tell all his future generations about the good Hashem has given him. He also is asking Hashem, not only am I going to tell my children about the good you've done for me, but just like I'm asking you to do kindness and have mercy on me, I would love you to have kindness and mercy on my future descendants. And the third way of interpreting this is the antidote for man's feeling of the transience of life. Yes, life is short. Yes, we don't have a lot of time to accomplish. But if we can leave behind children and instill in them our values, then our legacy continues long after we die. And there's nothing more beautiful than to give your child the name of a parent or grandparent who you loved and hope that that child carries on in their footsteps. And we finish off the very last pasuk. V'hi no'am Hashem Elokeinu aleinu, u'ma'aseh yedeinu konenu aleinu, u'ma'aseh yedeinu konenehu. That's quite a famous pasuk. You may have heard it before. May the favor of Hashem our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands and establish the work of our hands. So we explored how human life, which is marked by brevity and sorrow and is measured by heaven, not in years, but in performance of mitzvot. So now at the conclusion, we're saying, help us to achieve this type of eternity. Bless our hands that when we do mitzvot and when we aspire to do good, we are successful. Now, we said Moshe composed this tefillah. When did he compose it? There are many different opinions, but I would like to go with the one that says Moshe composed this after the Jews sinned by worshipping the golden calf. We mentioned in the beginning of our explanation when we started studying with the words Shuvu b'nei Adam, return, O man. This has something to do with Teshuvah. So when Moshe was pleading for God to forgive the Jews for their sin, he spoke about life is so short and they're so broken down by their suffering. Teach them to make the most of their lives. Please forgive them. You created repentance before you created the world. Please forgive them. So Hashem said, fine, you want them to be forgiven. I will give you a task. Help them and instruct them to build a mishkan, a place for me to dwell. So the Jewish people all donated their gold, and with great enthusiasm, they built this mishkan. And when they finished building it, and Moshe invited Hashem to come and fill his presence in this mishkan, he said this pasuk of Vayihi Noam. And it's beautiful because if you think, listen to the Hebrew for a minute, the word Noam, which means pleasant, is a play on words with our very beginning pasuk, which said Hashem ma'on ata. The words mem, ayin, nun reversed are no'am. What we're acknowledging is Hashem is the one who our souls sheltered with before the world was created. And now when we're inviting Hashem, just like the pasuk says in Shmot 25:8, va'asuli mikdash v'shachanti betocham, God says, make for me a place to dwell and I'll dwell in you. Meaning, God fills the whole world. He's not going to fill into a small mishkan, a small mikdash, a small synagogue. He's not going to fit into that. Shabbat, when we acknowledge Hashem's presence and make a place to show our worshiping of Him, Hashem comes and He dwells in us. So we're reiterating that connection, how we sheltered with Hashem before time. And then now while we're in this world, as we do mitzvahs, we bring Hashem back into us. I would like to thank you for studying Le'ilu Nishmat, Helen Moskowitz, and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Sheirit HaPleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren Yitzhak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.